It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks... What happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, you're kissing Chase Utley, and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay. That sounds good.
I'm gonna read it.
Dear Chase, there's stickers. Yeah. My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship... would be a real home run.
The Fan.
Welcome in the second hour of the Hot Corner. You're missing the first hour. You download that at the Fan Podcast at 1080thefan.com or the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, just a reminder, check out the new gear in the Fan merch locker at 1080thefan.com. We got the Dirt and Sprague Bacon and Football shirts, the Danny and Dusty Absolute Unit shirts. We also have the limited edition friend of our show, Mike Lynch approved. Help Mike take a swinge against ALS. I almost bought one today. I'm going to probably buy one tomorrow.
You know, I'm pissed that I didn't get one in time for the Fan Golf Classic because I definitely would have rocked it out on the course.
Yeah, I will probably buy one.
So one time Langdon will allow someone not with a polo out on the course.
Because you're like, yo, dude, ALS. And they're like, hey, all right, we'll let it go.
Do you have any context, any idea of what this is?
High quality tees, cost is just $25. Get your classic fan tees now. Look for the Fan merch locker at 1080thefan.com. Plus, we do have the Fan Golf Classic. Excuse me, I had to burp there. Fan Golf Classic at Langdon Farms on Thursday. Joe Fisher will be there. Schultzy, you making an appearance?
Oh, yeah. I live in Wilsonville. I mean, that's, what, 10 minutes away?
Like,
from my
I'll hit a drive to Langdon Farm and just hitch a ride on that ball.
Exactly. As long as somebody gives me a free beer.
I was going to be there, but unfortunately, I won't.
I will be golfing with the general manager of the R. Your Portland Pickles.
Woo!
Yes. I'm also going to be golfing with Jeremiah Coughlin, a local comedian. He's been on Danny and Dusty a couple times. And then the fourth guy that's in our group, I forget what his name is or what his role is with the Pickles, but he is a six handicap.
Whoa.
Dang.
Jeremiah Coughlin, on the other hand, just started golfing a few months ago. So I am very curious to see the disparity in skill between our best player and quite possibly our worst player.
Well, just put some Chair Razor IPAs from Stormbreaker Brewing that we are enjoying right now. The official IPA of the Timber of the Pickles.
Stormbreaker will be there as well.
Stormbreaker will be there. Rob, Dan, known those guys for a long time. My wife and I actually went there and had lunch on the 4th of July. We took our dog. We sat on their beautiful patio in Mississippi.
Mississippi?
Yeah, we went to the Mississippi
North
location.
North Portland, St. John's, or Mississippi?
Yeah, I went to the Mississippi location, and that's that. All right, enough free press for everyone, okay? Right? Cool. I got a question for you guys. So at the beginning of the season, we were up at Fan Madness at A-Line, our gambling friends up there in North Vancouver.
Yeah, you saw a gambling friend that looked like he was going through it and possibly losing his mortgage.
Still is. I was there the other day for a bachelor party, and guess what? He was there.
Dead eyes.
Dead Shocking. Eyes. Dead eyes. Well, they were winning at the craps table.
How are you doing?
They were winning at the craps table, so I think he was feeling all right at that moment, but who knows what 2 hours later
Yay.
Said.
Yay. I'm only $25,000 in debt tonight.
I was up there, and I saw an over-under win total for a baseball team at 92.5, and I said, good God, 92.5? That's what Vegas wants? I threw a fat 20 down on that. About 3 weeks ago, I was really scared that that bet was gone. In fact, I was so scared that I ripped that bet up.
Did you really?
I can't find it.
Aww.
I ripped it up and threw it in the garbage can. My friends, that was the New York Yankees. Since then, they have lost 14 of their last 18 games, whatever it might be.
I believe as of today, it is.
Because they lost to the Rays today.
Yes, they did.
I watched that game.
16 of 21.
16 of 21. And my friends, I sit here and I ask you, are these New York Yankees in a slump? Is this a July dog days of summer kind of thing? Or has this team finally come back down to earth?
Boy, I would say that everything that could go wrong is going wrong. Their three hottest hitters of the season are not hitting at all right now.
But what's funny, you say what could go wrong has go wrong. And I would say what prevents the Yankees from winning 92.5 games? I'd be like, well, Judge got hurt. Judge is not hurt.
See, this
Judge
is
healthy.
And this is
Soto is healthy. Stan's hurt, but whatever. We expected
He's
that.
Always hurt.
This is very similar to the 2022 season. You had Judge going off, breaking Roger Maris's record, and you had a Yankees team that started
single
off
season home run champion.
You had a Yankees
both leagues.
Yankees team that started off amazing and hobbled to the finish line of the regular season.
And didn't make the playoffs.
No, they made the playoffs.
Did they in 2022?
Yeah, they made the playoffs. Okay. They just didn't do anything in the playoffs. I want to say that
they lost to the Twins. The Twins got them that year.
Was it the Twins?
Maybe. I'll look it up.
I was going to say, I felt like the Twins the Twins don't ever win in the playoffs.
You
they
talk.
Always make
I'll
the
look
playoffs.
It up.
They probably lost to the Astros is what it was, if it was 2022, because that's the year that the Astros won, correct? What's happening?
I don't know. I'll look it up.
I smell burnt toast.
The Yankees beat the Guardians, lost to the Astros, swept.
Gotcha. So this reminds me of that season. The problem is, though, is that literally your three hottest hitters right now are pure trash. Judge is like 2 of 20 entering today. I don't know what he did today at the plate. Soto has been cold the last couple of weeks. I think since July, he only hit like the beginning of July. He has like 4 total hits. And then Volpe is a shell of himself. I want to say over the last month, I was reading an article today. He has an OPS of like 438 or something. And not only are those three guys just not hitting, but they're just having dumb brain fart plays. I'm sure you've seen the Trent Grisham play.
Yep. Yep.
Anthony Volpe not scoring against the Red Sox.
That's a bad one
on Sunday when
you're bad and the Red Sox beat you, that heightens it.
Not just beat you, sweep you. And then there was one other play that I'm spacing on, but it's just like someone didn't They didn't hustle on a ground ball as well. I'm forgetting what player it was. Like, it's just everything they're doing, whether it's base running, whether it's fielding, whether it's hitting, it's all going wrong right now. So it's just a matter of, like, if they're hitting flips and they start putting the bat on the ball again and getting back to how they were at the beginning of the season, then the team is going to be fine.
Well,
pitching is not going well. I mean, it's literally everything that could go wrong for this team is going wrong.
It's got to be some kind of locker room like vibe happening, because usually when a Trent Grisham play like that happens, which if you did not see it, essentially he very lazily ran up on a ball that got hit to center field.
$5 million a year and you're given that effort. That is complete BS.
Ricochets off your glove. You kind of listfully look down and then the runner's scoring by the time you actually get up. And that's because you gave no effort. When you're not getting pulled like that, I remember way back when, B.J. Upton made a very similar low-effort play when he was on the Rays. And guess what? It wasn't Joe Maddon that got on his ass. It was Evan freaking Longoria, his teammate, probably the team captain, so to speak. Why wasn't anybody, and maybe they just didn't show it, but I didn't see on Twitter anybody in the dugout getting on Trent Grisham. And frankly, I'm surprised that manager Aaron Boone didn't take his ass or any of the other players that did that out of the game immediately.
Well, and just real quick, Patrick, is that it's funny you mentioned that, Schulze, because a couple weeks ago, I believe Carlos Rodon was starting to get on someone on the team, and Aaron Judge kind of gave him a whole, like, no, we don't do that here. We don't, no, that's not, and they, like, they reconciled a little bit, Rodon and him, but he very much, like, gave him a whole, like, no, we got to uplift each other kind of talk or something like that. So, I mean,
the hell right out with
that. I think I know where you're going with this, Patrick, as far as whose fault you think it is.
Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
You guys ready?
Yes, I'm ready. Take a sip of your chair razor.
I will take a sip here.
How's it taste?
Shining moment.
Great drop, whoever played that. Here's what it is, all right? I saw this the other day. They were talking about Gleyber Torres. Somebody mentioned something that I was like, oh, that's interesting. Gleyber Torres. Why has he not reached his full potential? And then they talked earlier about Gary Sanchez. Why has Gary Sanchez not reached his full potential? To your point about Aaron Judge saying, that's not what we do here. Aaron Judge is saying, that's not what we do here, because Aaron Judge is the captain. And Aaron Judge is now the spokesperson of the leadership above him. Okay? It's everyone on the Yankees, then it's Aaron Judge, and then it's the brass. Cash, Steinbrenner, Boone, etc. And they have said, this is what we do. Nobody is held accountable on the Yankees. Nobody. And the reason is because leadership in that organization has decided that we will coddle our players instead of do the Yankee tradition. George is rolling in his grave right now, because what George did and what made the Yankees great is accountability, is step up. If you're not playing well, you deal with it. There is a documentary about Jeter's struggle to keep Alex accountable. That's a documentary.
And it was okay? it was Marcus Stroman that Aaron Judge and them two got into it.
Right now, Trent Grisham, Gleyber Torres, I would argue Anthony Rizzo, Trent Grisham for sure. There are a bunch of guys, Josh Donaldson in the past, Gary Sanchez in the past, Harrison Bader in the past. There is nobody on that team willing to call somebody out when they are not doing what they need to do. And that starts first and foremost with the manager. And the Yankees have the worst manager in all of baseball. Aaron Boone is over his skis. He cannot manage. He cannot control the clubhouse. You're looking at guys. You're looking at Juan Soto, all right? You're looking at Aaron Judge. You got Gerrit Cole in there, a Cy Young winning, World Series winning, multi-million dollar pitcher. The inmates are running the asylum. You got some kid, Rice. You better hope that kid is not listening to everybody and fighting for himself.
He's now batting leadoff because they moved Volpe out of the leadoff spot.
This Yankee team is teetering so close to having the inmates run the asylum. And I guarantee you, if guys like Rice and Verdugo, who's been playing pretty well this year, a Marcus Stroman, a Luis Gil, who's a kid. And if Stroman's kind of like, hey, it's kind of effed up what's going on around here, right? And you got some kid that's like, well, I mean, yeah. I mean, like, I'm trying my best, but it feels like nobody's helping me. And Stroman's like, yeah, right? And then they talk to Cole, who's like, hey, man, I know you're coming back, but, like, you're with us, right? And he's like, yeah, I kind of am. Like, this thing is so close to losing everything. It's the Steinbrenner's fault. It's Cashman's fault. But more importantly, it's Aaron Boone. I want to be on TV. I want to be a Yankee coach. I want everyone to think that my Yankees are buttoned up and professionals, and that's what we do. No. In baseball, you call guys out. When people aren't playing well, you tell them they're not playing well. You support them, but you tell them, look at Trey Turner. Trey Turner hit a grand slam tonight for the Phillies. He's struggled off and on the last couple years, and those fans got their back. Got his back because they criticized him. He took it. His players criticized him. He took it. His manager criticized him. He took it. This is just a bunch of soft, coddling BS, and that's why the Yankees are not good. And I wish I wouldn't have ripped up that ticket because this team is failing, and this team could continue to fail because I don't know who's out on the trade deadline that's going to make you better. Ran over.
Do you remember the over-under win total that you got it at?
92.5.
So they are 55-38. Let's do some quick math here, which is a tough thing for me to do. 55-38, that is 93. So we are just under 70 games, 69, nice, games nice. Left in the season. So that means under 92?
92.5.
Under 92.5. So they would have to win 37 out of their 69, and you would still hit that ticket. So they had to go. They would go 37-32.
Don't gamble, kids. Don't gamble.
Which at this point, the way that they're playing, 37-32, I mean, I think they would take that.
I think they would, too. All right. When we come back, we got a new front runner for worst manager in baseball. We'll do that next. Hot Corner, 10 of the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome into the mothership, Star Child. Oh, Parliament. Well, all right. Love this. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll get into Fair or Foul, everybody's favorite at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour, as we do every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I will remind you that I will be out for the next couple weeks. I'm going to Disneyland, my friends. So you got a Schultze and Fisher to take care of you. Joe, you should go find somebody to come sit in with you. Get wild.
Dude,
make
I would
Brandon Sprague come in.
That's not going to happen.
He texts in. He texts us. He tells us we're stupid. We're idiots. We don't know anything about baseball. Make him come in and own up.
I would love to have my brother-in-law come and do a show because that guy, Braves fan, was a dominant pitcher in high school.
Ooh.
All state for the Wilsonville Wildcats. Dude's got some nasty stuff, some nasty junk. And I appreciate his baseball mind more than anybody out there. But he lives out in the fine town of Willamina, which I believe is from this location, probably an hour 15,
five, hour 10,
something like that. I mean, it's Spirit Mountain Casino, essentially, is where he's by.
Oh, actually,
so.
No, it might be closer to an hour and a half because we're talking downtown.
Excuse me, he looks really hot.
All the way to Willamina.
Yeah, you either got to go past the federal prison and then hang a right
yep.
on the
into
exit.
Into the entrance, sign a form, and they'll let him out.
Yeah, we'll call him and have him on for release. 5 minutes because that's the only amount of time he's allowed on there.
One of the funniest things we love to do in sports, whether you listen to the boys in the morning, Danny and Dusty in the afternoon in prime time, or get a little sports Sunday in your pants or a little hot corner here, is we love talking about owners and how they just can't get out of their own way. And it's so funny to us, you know, us little small children here in the 23rd largest market of sports media, that I have to believe we would all run sports teams better than these guys do. They just can't get out of their own way, right?
Yeah, I would like to believe if I had billions of dollars, I'd be like, hey, how about I just spend money?
Yeah.
How about, you know, I don't think being cheap is going to get me anywhere unless I am a broke bastard, then being cheap is going to help me out. But I mean, if I have billions of dollars.
Fisher family name in Oakland is not doing you any favors.
No. No, it is not. But it is Fisher without a C.
That is true.
Yeah, the C stands for cheap.
I believe in Fishers with a C.
And so, yeah, there are owners out there where it's just like you realize that you are making hand over fist with having a sports team. It is one of the best investments that you could have is having a sports team.
It's the truth. God, I would do anything.
So, you know.
Right. If I could buy out Merritt Paulson right now, I'd do it.
Oh, I'd give,
without a doubt.
I'd be a stump. I no arms, no legs if I could own the
I like that
Mariners.
You said stump. The timbers, the log, the saw. I like what there you did go. There.
Cheeky.
I like what you said there. That's a soccer term.
That's like a British term, too, right?
I mean, yeah, you guys are being cheeky. Cheeky talk.
So, yeah, I don't know why owners can't just open up their wallets because you got to spend money to make money. And, again, you really don't have to spend money at all in major sports to make money, which is exactly what the Pittsburgh Pirates owner is doing. Do you know his name by chance, Patrick?
No, not at all.
It's Bob Nutting. Just rough last name. Yeah.
Rough.
Nutting.
His trip through school must have been hell.
I was informed of old Mr. Nutting earlier this year when a fine texter on the Vancouver Ford text line, I believe we were talking about the Oakland A's situation and how John Fisher sucks and how he's one of the worst owners and how he's cheap. And then we already knew that the Pirates were cheap. We just didn't have a name face to this Pirates ownership group.
It's like I knew the A's were bad, but I didn't know that there was a guy named Fisher that ran it. Otherwise, I'd be killing you for years, Joe.
Yeah.
I think
if I would have known that, Joe, I would have destroyed you for years.
And I would have made sure to lament time and time and again.
Hey,
it is
I've
not
got
the same
C.
spelling.
He
right?
doesn't have a C, but I would have still said that's semantics and your family is trash.
C for
except
contender.
Except for medium Joe and Joe 2.
A C for champion.
It was clearly only related to Joe the 3rd.
Didn't Fisher buy the team after Moneyball? Like, I think that's like, because I thought that it was some other cheap owner, and now this is the second cheap owner.
I'll bet
the
you
A's
the
have
A's have
with.
Been cheap owners since Reggie Jackson went to the Yankees.
That's a good point, actually.
They even won a World Series in the late 80s, early 90s. I'll bet you they were cheap then. They just found some steroid dudes and Dennis Eckersley.
It's fair.
He is also a part owner of former part owner of the San Francisco Giants, John Fisher. But this segment isn't about him.
We're derailing.
It's about Mr. Nutting. Okay.
The nut.
But apparently the front office in Pittsburgh is pissed at old Bob because this was his remarks to the press about the trade deadline coming up. And the Pirates, they have a bright future ahead of them.
They do. Right? O'Neill Cruz, Brian Reynolds, they locked up.
Paul Skeens and Jared Jones, who both have smoking hot girlfriends.
Skeens' girlfriend, who I'm more excited about than Skeens.
Livy Dunn. Yeah, instead of the All-Star game, can it just be a Livy Dunn just doing the splits for like three and a half hours?
She is back at LSU next year for a fifth year of gymnastics, so we do get to see that.
She ain't going to play. She's just on the gram.
But Bob said, I'm not all sure that we won't have opportunities well in advance of the deadline. I think we should be prepared to move early. I think we should be prepared to take advantage of opportunities when they arise. I know Ben that has that flexibility to look across a broader range of alternatives, options, but also a timeline of when it makes sense to strike. The comment made members of the Pirates front office, quote, furious. One member of the team's baseball operations told Pittsburgh Baseball they felt Nutting's comments were misleading at best. And Bob, the person under the condition of anonymity, said he could speak freely without facing repercussions, said Bob implied we're going to have money to spend, and he got the fans excited. But he told us we don't have any money to make any significant additions. So, again, telling the fan base one thing to, yeah, get their hopes up and make the Pirates think like, oh, hey, we might actually be trying to build a winner here. And then literally going back and telling the front office and the guys that are supposed to build the team, no, you're not going to do squadoosh, as Patrick Harris says.
You know, I'm going to stick up for the nut right here and say, you know, like, we are going to do the best for the team. We're going to do everything we got. This is the greatest team you've ever seen.
We have billions and billions of dollars.
Welcome to being a Mariners fan.
Find the right guy that fits in, but realistically, I'm actually pulling a fast one on all of you, and we're going to do nothing.
Second,
I'm going to get revenue sharing.
Second lowest payroll in baseball behind the Oakland Athletics.
Yeah, he's like, why should I spend money when I can say, hey, take a shot with what we have, and Paul Skeens and O'Neill Cruz can sell bobbleheads. And if we come up short, we'll say, shucks, at least we tried.
We went all out. We did what we could.
So I just want
trust
to,
our players.
I wanted to bring this story to the people because I know that we love to hate billionaires and rich owners that are spoiled little brats. And while we've been absolutely ripping on John Fisher because of his terrible handling of the Oakland Athletics and what he's been doing with that team, it is about time that we well know Bob Nutting's name for being just as terrible of an owner.
Yeah, we'll get out of here on this real quick.
Such a punchable face,
if we put Fisher aside, because he's obviously the worst in baseball. Is the nut the worst?
I don't, outside of him, I don't like you referring to him as the nut.
I hate Paul Dolan Cleveland. I hate Paul Dolan in Cleveland.
He is a absolute ass. Bob Nutting's net worth is $1 billion, by the way, at least according to Google.
Bob Nutting has the look
like $10 billion. You don't know. You haven't seen my books.
In like
Swiss bank accounts,
75% to 80% of pictures of Bob Nutting, it looks like he either just crapped himself or he is smelling a fart. Like it is just this smell. Just
okay. Yeah.
Maybe he's got nut.
That's a little
all over
stinky.
His face.
I think I might have touched cloth on that.
Maybe
one.
He's got nut all over his face. Like, did you think about that?
Jerry Reinsdorf has got to be on the list.
Be careful.
Reinsdorf has rings, though.
Yeah, but he has run since the Ozzie Guillen times.
I know, but he's got rings.
Okay, well, then John Stanton for the Mariners, too. My bias is sneaking in there, but the comments that he made in the offseason, literally months after, you know, telling Jerry DePoto, hey, we are going to be able to go all in on this. Nope. It's, yeah, a lot of Mariners fans are out on it.
Jeffrey Lurie's got to be up there, too.
Is he still
Let's not forget. Lurie's the Marlins. He's still there.
What? He's
got to be.
No. Jeet's bought him, and then they've been sold since then. Lurie's not there anymore. Right.
Well, either way, there's still, no matter what sport you like, we like baseball, and there's still crappy owners in baseball. So congratulations to you billionaires for being the worst people on the planet. Let's get out of here. Let's do some fair or foul. But first, there's Schulze with sports.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Lenny Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome in. This is Fair or Foul. We do this every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Without further ado, we're already behind it. Let's pass it over to our fantastic producer, Chelsea.
Hold on, I have one thing.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I just said that because we were behind it.
You're thanks, so Joe.
Yeah. Yeah,
thanks,
just Joe. Push me farther behind. I will go as fast as I can, but it is hot out. All right, how about some more vocal improvisation for us, Patrick? Ready, go. All right, I'll move on. I have nothing to match that.
I am 1080 The Fan.
I will say something dirty and end up getting fired. All right, guys, fair or foul number one. A player having a very good, I would say, bounce back season after a couple of down years. Former MVP Christian Yelich for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Love Yelich.
He's been batting well this year. So, guys, fair or foul, was looking at his career statistics compared to this year. Fair or foul, Milwaukee Brewers outfielder Christian Yelich has the highest batting average of his career so far this season. So to this point in 2024, I am saying fair or foul, it is higher than any of his other years of batting average in Major League Baseball.
I'm going to say fair because the last time I checked, the dude was batting like 320 or something like that. Like 315, 320, 324. I felt like Schultze was just about to give me a nod. Like, yep, you're right.
Yeah.
Yep, you nailed it, bud.
Yeah.
Yeah, Christian Yelich, I think this is fair. Best average of his career so far.
You know what's funny is I've always loved Christian Yelich. When he was on Miami before he got traded to Milwaukee, I was in a fantasy league, a keeper league that actually dissolved. And my two guys were this young outfielder for the Marlins named Christian Yelich and this young starter for the Rays named Blake Snell. And I was like, this team is on the right path. And then it dissolved. I love Christian Yelich. I am so happy he is an all-star starter. I think he has finally come into it. Injuries have played a part in it. And also he's on a Brewers team that is kind of like a grind kind of team. You know, he has been forced to be a grind kind of player and not an average home run guy that we thought he was when he was a kid. I'll join Joe in this. I think I'm wrong, but I'll join Joe in this just out of how much I love Christian Yelich. I'll say fair.
Nice. You guys both got it tonight. He is batting 331, so actually even way higher than you were saying, Joe, when you saw him at 315 or 320.
He was a trade candidate. He was a trade candidate at the beginning of the season. People thought the Brewers weren't going to be good. And here they are in first place, and part of that is Christian Yelich. I looked at it and was like, if Yelich is on the board, go get him. Go get him. And I'll tell you what, the Brewers right now are not trading Christian Yelich.
No, they're looking pretty smart because they probably wouldn't have given him up for much.
No, I think you could have got him in the offseason this year. I think you got him pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, he's hitting 331 through 67 games so far this season. Back in 2019, he hit 329. That is his highest career batting average to this point. Hit 326.
He's an MVP, and let's not forget, they were like three outs from a World Series before the Dodgers got him, I believe the COVID year. I believe that's what it was.
That sounds about right. And he hit 12 homers.
Or 2021, I'm not sure. Maybe it was. It might be the year they lost. I think it's 19. I think it's the year they lost to the Nationals. The Dodgers did in the NLCS. But I think the Brewers were ready to beat the Dodgers to go to the NLCS, and they lost in the end.
All right, let's move on to fair or foul question number two, featuring Joe's Baltimore Orioles, because
Joe's O's.
It is. Well, it's about home runs, so
my
it kind of has to. It kind of has to feature the Orioles because they're slamming them. Slamming lots of whammies this year.
Slamming dongs.
That's right. Big dongs. The Marlins slamming smaller amounts of dongs. But the Baltimore Orioles, first in MLB in home runs, have double the amount of dongs as the last place team, the Miami Marlins. Fair or foul?
I'm going to go fair just because that'd be cool. I believe in my O's. I'm Joe Fisher, and I approve of this message. This paid for the Joe Fisher for the Baltimore Orioles Foundation.
I will also say fair, and mostly for a different reason. I don't care about Joe's O's, but I do like Joe's kids.
Your real kids and your O's kids.
Kids, plural.
I will say this is fair, mostly because I believe this is one of those preseason things that I was wrong. I think I remember talking about, like, them Marlins, they're going to be pesky. Boy, they're bad. They're bad. And the best trade piece they have is not exciting. I think that team is so bad compared to what we thought they could have been.
Who's their trade piece?
A little Jazz Chisholm.
Yeah, Chisholm. I would say Tanner Scott.
They won't trade him.
I think
he's under control.
They should.
They're like, we'll hold on to Tanner Scott.
They should.
I already gave up Birdie.
They'll trade him in 2 years because then they realize they're still bad. I'll say yes, because I think what's more surprising is not that the Orioles are this good and hitting this many home runs. I think what's surprising is the Marlins are this bad.
Oh, yeah, Joe already answered. Sorry, he just like, because it would be fun. I kind of forgot that. My bad. It is fair. You guys both nailed it. Baltimore hits 147 home runs so far this season. Miami hitting 73, so double that would be 146.
That team's bad.
Unbelievable.
Like, Oakland,
Fisher, two for two today.
Oakland, Colorado, Chicago. I know those teams are bad, but we know why they're bad. I don't know why Miami is bad. But they are bad.
One manager of the year. So, yeah, like last year. I don't really know.
They're just bad.
All right, let's move to the other coast. The Los Angeles Dodgers, of course, in first place in the NL West, leading the Padres by 7 games. But it ain't all roses for them right now. They've got some issues, namely with pitchers being injured. And I'm talking like half their pitching staff.
And half of their starters. Bobby Miller got lit today.
Yes, he did.
Again.
And he has not had a great season. I think his ERA is like something like 7 or 8 after that.
Oh, I'm aware. Three fantasy teams. I'm aware.
So sorry. Tyler Glasnow going on the
two
aisle.
Two of them are keepers.
Bobby Miller. Where is he? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, seriously. Tyler Glasnow on the aisle today as well with back issues.
Which is too bad because he probably could have been the starter for the National League.
You're right. And then they also already have Buehler and Yamamoto on the shelf as well. So they are dealing with thankfully, Gavin Stone, who I had no idea who he was, and Landon Knack.
On a fantasy team, Gavin Stone.
Yeah.
Gavin
Stone. Stone and
look at the roller coaster of emotions happening. Yeah, right. Now.
The Dodgers.
The Dodgers season would be in the S-er if it weren't for these two no-name pitchers, because they have been holding steady at a 2+, 3-ish ERA, getting them wins, and then rounding out with James Paxton basically being relevant, with a 4 ERA and allowing them to stay in it. But guys, with all of these injuries, fair or foul, the Dodgers need to trade for a starting pitcher by the deadline.
I'll start with this. I think the situation they're going through right now is an embarrassment of riches. I think Walker was going to struggle this year, whether it was out of the gate or go on the DL, things like that. I think Walker was going to struggle because it's going to take him some time to get back. Like, Tyler Glasnow had Tommy John, and it took him a little bit on Tampa to figure it out. And when he got to L.A., he was like, hey, I'm ready to go, and looks great. I think it's an embarrassment of riches. I think we're a little over our skis worrying about the Dodger starting pitching. At the beginning of the year, I was very critical of it. I didn't know what Yamamoto would be. I thought Kershaw was toast. I loved Miller and I loved Glasnow, but I didn't love anybody else. But Gavin Stone has come through. The Big Maple has been serviceable.
Yeah. Doing what he does.
I think this team is going to be fine, assuming Glasnow, Yamamoto, and Buehler are not long-term serious things. Because if they get those guys back with Kershaw and Miller or Stone, you've got a 6-man rotation. And the only team I know that has a better, if fully healthy, rotation than the Dodgers is the Seattle Mariners.
I'm going to say foul, that they will not make a move, I believe was how the question was.
Yeah, they need to. So, yeah.
Okay, yes. Foul. Because they're going to get a lot of these guys back by the end of the season. I think they are similar to this team that is on the TV right now, the Atlanta Braves. Just weather the storm, get to the playoffs, get Yoshi back, get Walker back, possibly get Clayton Kershaw back, which, you know, once it gets to the playoffs, I mean, God only knows what you're going to get there.
Bring him out of the pen.
Yeah, something. I don't know.
But Roberts won't do that because he's almost as bad as Boone.
So I think it's a matter of, you know, weather the storm, get to the finish line of the season, and then see where, well, you can't really see where you're at then. But again, I think that Patrick is right. It's embarrassment of riches in that you have guys that are banged up, they're bruised, but it's nothing you haven't dealt with before. In years past, they've had a lot of injuries like this in the pitching staff, and I think they'll get through it.
Gavin Stone's been cool.
Can I just add?
Gavin Stone's been really cool for them.
Technically, Ohtani's playing, but as far as pitching goes, he is on the 60-day injured list because he is not done recovering from Tommy John.
Yeah, I mean, next year you got Ohtani coming back. Let's not forget May's coming back. Yeah, Gonsolin's
exactly.
coming back. Like,
Clayton
this team
Kershaw's
is
still on the IL.
Stupid.
They've literally got four starting pitchers that are not pitching right now. That's fascinating.
Four potential aces.
Yeah. Yeah, all could be aces.
Three and Clayton Kershaw, a first ballot Hall of Famer, maybe the best lefty we've ever seen.
But yeah. Still, by the end of the season, this team can have a fully healthy Walker Buehler, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, and Tyler Glasnow going to the playoffs.
That'd yeah, be, you guys are right. Embarrassment of riches. I think you'll be good.
I mean, Yamamoto, Glasnow, Stone, Miller, Kershaw, like... I'm only scared of the Mariners, but I'm not scared because their team hits, you know, like me.
By the way, on the Mariners, on pace to literally have the worst batting average of any team of all time.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I know. I have never hit someone in my entire life, and I have a higher batting average than the Seattle Mariners.
That is
I'm aware of this.
Not anecdotal. They are literally on pace to have the worst combined team batting average in a single season of any team ever.
Imagine if they win the division.
People were looking at like them having the worst batting average of their own franchise history, which is only 70 years long. No,
we're looking at all time.
All time in ever, Brian, in ever.
In ever.
All right, and guys, fourth fair or foul question to wrap it up is about my Seattle Mariners.
Opening day, and here's the first pitch. And the season's over.
Sounds a lot like my baseball fandom. Mariners do lead right now over the Padres, bottom eight, 7-1. Cal Raleigh has actually gone off tonight for two-run whammies. And Julio Rodriguez going off tonight as well. Four hits so far. 4-for-4, actually. A solo jack, which was a long bomb. Looked like he put a lot into that swing. And then a couple of RBIs as well, a double and a single. But guys, Julio seems to be so up and down at the plate this year, hitting .256, hit his ninth home run today with that solo jack. Y'all made the comment last week that the home run derby seems to charge him up, so I ask you, fair or foul, Julio, there's two more slots to go in the home run derby. He should participate in this year's home run derby. He only has 9 home runs, though. Fair or foul?
Foul. He had his moment last year in Seattle. I think you can have some other dudes that are more deserving of it this year.
Are you talking about deserving, or are you talking about how this would engage Julio?
And it kind of did last year. After the All-Star break, home run derby, he got out of his slump a little bit. But again, I just think that the moment worked for him as well, just being in Seattle, the All-Star game. So
now, I would say that I would love to see Julio in this home run derby. However, I would like to not see Julio in this home run derby. And here's why. I would love to see him not play in it because I need him to focus. Yeah, I need him to stop swinging.
I hear you.
Here's the Julio pitching method. Slider outside, fastball inside, strikeout.
John.
I need to not see that. I need him to focus on how to get outside of that. However, if I'm Major League Baseball, put Julio Rodriguez in the home run derby. Without a doubt. Put him with Gunnar Henderson, Bobby Witt. Put him with the kids. Like, he was an amazing display last year. Julio and Adley Rutschman were the two best players in the home run derby last year. Who won? Don't know. Don't care. Because I will remember Adley from the left side, and I'll remember Julio in one round. Put him in. Put him in. And honestly, he's been so challenging this year as a hitter that who cares if he regresses, because he can't regress more than he already has.
And he hasn't had a hit in ever.
In ever, Jerry. In ever.
That's actually a good point. No, he really
why not?
Hey, play worse.
Hey, baseball. Pump baseball.
And
Julio and Bobby and Gunner, pump him.
He is that young, exciting pump talent that's perfect
pump
for this kind of event.
Pump him up.
That's all I got for you guys.
All right, that is Fair Foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. We come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up. Hot Corner, Today the Fan. I just want to say really quickly that I'm very glad we're playing Shakedown Street by the Grateful Dead. Coming back into this, on this day in 1995, Soldier Field, Chicago, Illinois, is the last time the Grateful Dead played a live show with Jerry Garcia. He had to take a step away from the band.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll, 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 roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Lenny Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome in. This is Fair or Foul. We do this every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Without further ado, we're already behind it. Let's pass it over to our fantastic producer, Shotzi.
Hold on, I have one thing.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I just said that because we were behind it.
You're thanks, so Joe. Funny.
Yeah, yeah, thanks, just Joe. Push me farther behind. I will go as fast as I can, but it is hot out. All right, I want some more vocal improvisation for us, Patrick. Ready, go. All right, I'll move on. I have nothing to match that.
I am 1080 The Fan.
I will say something dirty and end up getting fired. All right, guys, fair or foul number one. A player having a very good, I would say, bounce back season after a couple of down years. Former MVP Christian Yelich for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Love Yelich.
He's been batting well this year. So, guys, fair or foul, was looking at his career statistics compared to this year. Fair or foul, Milwaukee Brewers outfielder Christian Yelich has the highest batting average of his career so far this season. So to this point in 2024, I am saying fair or foul, it is higher than any of his other years of batting average in Major League Baseball.
I'm going to say fair, because the last time I checked, the dude was batting like 320 or something like that. Like 315, 320, 324. I felt like Schultz was just about to give me a nod. Like, yep, you're right.
Yeah,
yep, you nailed it, bud.
Yeah.
Yeah, Christian Yelich, I think this is fair. Best average of his career so far.
You know what's funny is I've always loved Christian Yelich. When he was on Miami before he got traded to Milwaukee, I was in a fantasy league, a keeper league that actually dissolved. And my two guys were this
young outfielder for the Marlins named Christian Yelich and this young starter for the Rays named Blake Snell. And I was like, this team is on the right path. And then it dissolved. I love Christian Yelich. I am so happy he is an all-star starter. I think he has finally come into it. Injuries have played a part in it. And also, he's on a Brewers team that is kind of like a grind kind of team. You know, he has been forced to be a grind kind of player and not an average home run guy that we thought he was when he was a kid. I'll join Joe in this. I think I'm wrong, but I'll join Joe in this just out of how much I love Christian Yelich. I'll say fair.
Nice. You guys both got it tonight. He is batting 331, so actually even way higher than you were saying, Joe, when you saw him at 315 or 320.
He was a trade candidate. He was a trade candidate at the beginning of the season. People thought the Brewers weren't going to be good, and here they are in first place, and part of that is Christian Yelich. I looked at it and was like, if Yelich is on the board, go get him. Go get him. And I'll tell you what, the Brewers right now are not trading Christian Yelich.
No, they're looking pretty smart because they probably wouldn't have given him up for much.
No, I think you could have got him in the offseason this year. I think you got him pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, he's hitting 331 through 67 games so far this season. Back in 2019, he hit 329. That is his highest career batting average to this point. Season before, hit 326.
He's an MVP, and let's not forget, they were like three outs from a World Series before the Dodgers got him, I believe the COVID year. I believe that's what it was.
That sounds about right. And he hit 12 homers.
Or 2021,
year.
I'm not sure. Maybe it was. It might be the year they lost. I think it's 19. I think it's the year they lost to the Nationals. The Dodgers did in the NLCS. But I think the Brewers were ready to beat the Dodgers to go to the NLCS, and they lost in the end.
All right, let's move on to fair or foul question number two, featuring Joe's Baltimore Orioles, because
Joe's O's.
It is. Well, it's about home runs, so
my
it kind of has to. It kind of has to feature the Orioles because they're slamming them. Slamming lots of whammies this year.
Slamming dongs.
That's right. Big dongs, the Marlins, slamming smaller amounts of dongs. But the Baltimore Orioles, first in MLB in home runs, have double the amount of dongs as the last place team, the Miami Marlins. Fair or foul?
I'm going to go fair just because that'd be cool. I believe in my O's. I'm Joe Fisher, and I approve of this message. This paid for the Joe Fisher for the Baltimore Orioles Foundation.
I will also say fair, and mostly for a different reason. I don't care about Joe's O's, but I do like Joe's kids, your real kids, and your O's kids.
Kids, plural.
I will say this is fair, mostly because I believe this is one of those preseason things that I was wrong. I think I remember talking about, like, them Marlins, they're going to be pesky. Boy, they're bad. They're bad. And the best trade piece they have is not exciting. I think that team is so bad compared to what we thought they could have been.
Who's their trade piece?
A little Jazz Chisholm.
Yeah, I'd say Tanner Scott.
They won't trade him.
I think
he's under control.
They should.
They're like, we'll hold on to Tanner Scott.
They should.
I already gave up Birdie.
They'll trade him in 2 years because then they realize they're still bad. I'll say yes, because I think what's more surprising is not that the Orioles are this good and hitting this many home runs. I think what's surprising is the Marlins are this bad.
Oh, yeah, Joe already answered. Sorry, he just liked because it would be fun. I kind of forgot that. My bad. It is fair. You guys both nailed it. Baltimore hits 147 home runs so far this season. Miami hitting 73, so double that would be 146.
That team's bad.
Unbelievable.
Like, Oakland,
two for two today.
Oakland, Colorado, Chicago. I know those teams are bad, but we know why they're bad. I don't know why Miami is bad. But they are bad.
One manager of the year. So, yeah, like last year. I don't really know.
They're just bad.
All right, let's move to the other coast. The Los Angeles Dodgers, of course, in first place in the NL West, leading the Padres by 7 games. But it ain't all roses for them right now. They've got some issues, namely with pitchers being injured. And I'm talking like half their pitching staff.
And half of their starters. Bobby Miller got lit today.
Yes, he did.
And again.
He has not had a great season. I think his ERA is like something like 7 or 8 after that.
Oh, I'm aware. three fantasy teams. I'm aware.
So sorry. Tyler Glasnow going on the
two
aisle.
Two of them are keepers.
Bobby Miller. Where is he? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, seriously. Tyler Glasnow on the aisle today as well with back issues. And
which is too bad because he probably could have been the starter for the National League.
You're right. And then they also already have Buehler and Yamamoto on the shelf as well. So they are dealing with just, I mean, thankfully, Gavin Stone, who I had no idea who he was, and Landon Mack.
On a fantasy team, Gavin Stone.
Stone.
Look at the roller coaster of emotions happening right now.
The Doyers.
The Doyers season would be in the Esser if it weren't for these two no-name pitchers, because they have been holding steady at a 2+, 3-ish ERA, getting them wins, and then rounding out with James Paxton basically being relevant, you know, with a 4 ERA and allowing them to stay in it. But guys, with all of these injuries, fair or foul, the Dodgers need to trade for a starting pitcher by the deadline.
I'll start with this. I think the situation they're going through right now is an embarrassment of riches. I think Walker was going to struggle this year, whether it was out of the gate or go on the DL, things like that. I think Walker was going to struggle because it's going to take him some time to get back. Like, Tyler Glasnow had Tommy John, and it took him a little bit on Tampa to figure it out. And when he got to L.A., he was like, hey, I'm ready to go, and looks great. I think it's an embarrassment of riches. I think we're a little over our skis worrying about the Dodger starting pitching. At the beginning of the year, I was very critical of it. I didn't know what Yamamoto would be. I thought Kershaw was toast. I loved Miller and I loved Glasnow, but I didn't love anybody else. But Gavin Stone has come through. The Big Maple has been serviceable.
Yeah. Doing what he does.
I think this team is going to be fine, assuming Glasnow, Yamamoto, and Buehler are not long-term serious things. Because if they get those guys back with Kershaw and Miller or Stone, you've got a six-man rotation. And the only team I know that has a better, if fully healthy, rotation than the Dodgers is the Seattle Mariners.
I'm going to say foul, that they will not make a move, I believe was how the question was.
Yeah, they need to. So, yeah.
Okay, yes. Foul. Because they're going to get a lot of these guys back by the end of the season. I think they're similar to this team that is on the TV right now, the Atlanta Braves. Just weather the storm, get to the playoffs, get Yoshi back, get Walker back, possibly get Clayton Kershaw back, which, you know, once it gets to the playoffs, I mean, God only knows what you're going to get there.
Bring him out of the pen.
Yeah, something. I don't know.
But Roberts won't do that because he's almost as bad as Boone.
So I think it's a matter of, you know, weather the storm, get to the finish line of the season, and then see where, well, you can't really see where you're at then. But again, I think that Patrick is right. It's embarrassment of riches in that you have guys that are banged up, they're bruised, but it's nothing you haven't dealt with before. In years past, they've had a lot of injuries like this in the pitching staff, and I think they'll get through it.
Gavin Stone's been cool.
Can I just add?
Gavin Stone's been really cool for them.
Technically, Otani's playing, but as far as pitching goes, he is on the 60-day injured list because he is not done recovering from Tommy John.
Yeah, I mean, next year you got Otani coming back. Let's not forget Mays coming back. Yeah, Gonsolin's
exactly
coming back. Like,
Clayton
this team
Kershaw's
is
still on the IL.
Stupid.
They've literally got four starting pitchers that are not pitching right now. That's fascinating.
Four potential aces.
Yeah. Yeah. All could be aces.
Three and Clayton Kershaw, a first ballot Hall of Famer, maybe the best lefty we've ever seen.
But yeah. Still, by the end of the season, this team can have a fully healthy Walker Buehler, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, and Tyler Glasnow going into the playoffs.
Yeah, you guys are right. Embarrassment of riches.
I think you'll be good.
I mean, Yamamoto, Glasnow, Stone, Miller, Kershaw, like, I'm only scared of the Mariners, but I'm not scared because their team hits, you know, like me.
By the way, on the Mariners, on pace to literally have the worst batting average of any team of all time.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I know. I have never hit someone in my entire life, and I have a higher batting average than the Seattle Mariners.
That is
I'm aware of this.
Not anecdotal. They are literally on pace to have the worst combined team batting average in a single season of any team ever.
Imagine if they win the division.
People were looking at like them having the worst batting average of their own franchise history, which is only 70 years long. No, now, all ever.
We're looking at all time.
All time in ever, Brian. Ryan in ever.
In ever.
All right, and guys, fourth fair or foul question to wrap it up is about my Seattle Mariners.
Opening day, and here's the first pitch. And the season's over.
Sounds a lot like my baseball fandom. Mariners do lead right now over the Padres, bottom eight, 7-1. Cal Raleigh has actually gone off tonight for two-run whammies. And Julio Rodriguez going off tonight as well. Four hits so far. 4-for-4, actually. A solo jack, which was a long bomb. Looked like he put a lot into that swing. And then a couple of RBIs as well, a double and a single. But guys, Julio seems to be so up and down at the plate this year, hitting 256, hit his ninth home run today with that solo jack. Y'all made the comment last week that the home run derby seems to charge him up. So I ask you, fair or foul, Julio, there's two more slots to go in the home run derby. He should participate in this year's home run derby. He only has 9 home runs, though. Fair or foul?
Foul. He had his moment last year in Seattle. I think you can have some other dudes that are more deserving of it this year.
Are you talking about deserving, or are you talking about how this would engage Julio?
And it kind of did last year. After the All-Star break, home run derby, he got out of his slump a little bit. But again, I just think that the moment worked for him as well, just being in Seattle, the All-Star game. So
now I would say that I would love to see Julio in this home run derby. However, I would like to not see Julio in this home run derby. And here's why. I would love to see him not play in it because I need him to focus. Yeah. I need him to stop swinging.
I hear you.
Here's the Julio pitching method. Slider outside, fastball inside, strikeout. John. I need to not see that. I need him to focus on how to get outside of that. However, if I'm Major League Baseball, put Julio Rodriguez in the home run derby. Without a doubt. Put him with Gunnar Henderson, Bobby Witt. Put him with the kids. Like, he was an amazing display last year. Julio and Adley Rutschman were the two best players in the home run derby last year. Who won? Don't know. Don't care. Because I will remember Adley from the left side, and I'll remember Julio in one round. Put him in. Put him in. And honestly, he's been so challenging this year as a hitter that who cares if he regresses, because he can't regress more than he already has.
And he hasn't had a hit in ever.
In ever, Jerry. In ever.
That's actually a good point. No, he really
why not?
Hey, play worse.
Hey, baseball. Pump baseball. And Julio and Bobby and Gunner, pump them.
He is that young, exciting pump talent that's perfect
pump
for
him.
This kind of event.
Pump him up.
That's all I got for you guys.
All right, that is Fair or Foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. We come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up. Hot Corner, Today the Fan. I just want to say really quickly that I'm very glad we're playing Shakedown Street by the Grateful Dead. Coming back into this. On this day in 1995, Soldier Field, Chicago, Illinois, is the last time the Grateful Dead played a live show with Jerry Garcia. He had to take a step away from the band. And in about a month, he died.
Isn't that an ice cream?
No, that's Cherry Garcia. By the friends over there at Ben and Jerry's.
My only little Jerry Garcia nugget that I have is that he was in Half Baked. Might have not even been him, honestly. Actually, it was probably an actor pretending to be.
It was an actor pretending because Jerry Garcia died in 1995.
That's right.
And Half Baked.
Actually,
came out.
Now yeah. I think about it, the joke in Half Baked is that the dude has a.
It was in a premonition. It was a dream.
Yeah, and I think he has Jerry Garcia's ashes in like a little leather pouch in a necklace around his neck.
Yeah. So Jerry Garcia's last show for the Grateful Dead was today, July 9th of 1995. I believe he died August 3rd, but his birthday is something like that, and then we have the days between. So it's a big Grateful Dead celebration in early August.
When is it of the not five a Grateful days, Dead celebration?
Of the 5 days between Jerry's death and Jerry's birthday are called the days between.
I feel like you could literally find something for every single day. Like, oh, yeah, January 18th, this is the day.
We celebrate everything.
Oh, yeah, May 14th, this is the day.
Hey, man, join the bus. It's all right.
Hop on.
I'll get the next one.
Hop on.
Have fun, brother. Gonna miss you.
Thanks, yeah, guys.
The mouse got you. The mouse is gonna spank you, bend you over their knee.
Thanks, guys.
Spank your ass and take you for everything that you have.
I'll tell you what. I will keep my eyes out for little things for you two. All right. Maybe I'll bring you back some little
stop
treasures.
By the magic shop. You'll have a fun
bring
time.
Bring me back a turkey leg.
Turkey leg. All right. That'll do it for us. We'll be back next week. Joe and Schultze will hold it down at All Star Break. Let you know how the game goes as they'll be live on TV as the game's going on. And they'll tell you about the first half of the season. Looking forward to the second half season. When I come back, we'll take care of it. But for Joe Fisher, Schultze on the ones and twos, I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something I would do. I just want to say really quickly that I'm very glad we're playing Shakedown Street by the Grateful Dead. Coming back into this. On this day in 1995, Soldier Field, Chicago, Illinois, is the last time the Grateful Dead played a live show with Jerry Garcia. He had to take a step away from the band, and in about a month, he died.
Isn't that an ice cream?
No, that's Cherry Garcia. By the friends over there at Ben and Jerry's.
My only little Jerry Garcia nugget that I have is that he was in Half-Baked. Might have not even been him, honestly. Actually, it was probably an actor pretending to be
him. It was an actor pretending because Jerry Garcia died in 1995.
That's right.
And Half-Baked
Now I think about it, the joke in Half-Baked is that the dude has a...
It was in a premonition. It was a dream.
Yeah, and I think he has Jerry Garcia's ashes in like a little leather pouch in a necklace around his neck.
Yeah, so Jerry Garcia's last show for the Grateful Dead was today, July 9th of 1995. I believe he died August 3rd, but his birthday is something like that, and then we have the days between. So it's a big Grateful Dead celebration in early August.
When is it of the not five a Grateful days, Dead celebration?
Of the 5 days between Jerry's death and Jerry's birthday are called the days between.
I feel like you could literally find something for every single day. Like, oh, yeah, January 18th, this is the day.
We celebrate everything.
Oh, yeah, May 14th, this is the day.
Hey, man, join the bus. It's all right.
Hop come on. Hop on.
I'll get the next one.
Hop on.
Have fun, brother. Good
thanks.
To miss you.
Thanks, yeah, guys.
The mouse got you. The mouse is going to spank you.
Thanks,
bend
I'm
you
a
over
jelly.
Their knee.
Thanks, guys.
Spank your ass and take you for everything that you have.
I'll tell you what. I will keep my eyes out for little things for you two, all right? Maybe I'll bring you back some little
stop
treasures.
Stop by the magic shop. You'll have a fun
bring
time.
Bring me back a turkey leg.
Turkey leg. All right. That'll do it for us. We'll be back next week. Joe and Schultze will hold it down at All-Star Break. Let you know how the game goes as they'll be live on TV as the game's going on. And they'll tell you about the first half of the season. Looking forward to the second half season. When I come back, we'll take care of it. But for Joe Fisher, Schultze on the ones and twos, I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something I would do.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For track. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.